Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And now James says, confess your what? To one another. What? All right. Pastor Dave sinned last week. I told you something that I did in a brief spur of the moment. And some people emailed me. And then I got confronted yesterday. So let me explain something about theology. How many of you go to a physician? And you first, if you have an HMO like I do, you go to your physician who is your main care physician. And then let's say you think you may have cardiac problems, you go to a cardiologist. If you have blood problems, you go to a hematologist. If you have problems with your ears, you go to ear, nose, and throat. Okay? Okay. Well, last week I said that I forgot, blurred the two Enochs. There's an Enoch in chapter 4 that was a son of Cain. There's an Enoch in chapter 5 that is a different Enoch. I quickly glanced down, made the mistake, and I got emails and people confronted me. So I want to thank you, but I want to remind you, Pastor Dave never said that he was an expert. My area of specialization is in New Testament languages. So I'm not going to tell you that I control the New Testament like an Old Testament specialist would. And it was something that I hadn't planned to say. My eye glanced down and said that too quickly. Should have read my study notes. That's a joke for my Bible study. Anyway, I apologize. The good that came out of it was not only did I feel terribly bad that I showed myself to be a complete idiot in the Old Testament, but it shows me that people are listening. So if you snore, don't snore too loud because the guy next to you could be listening, and that's a good thing. So I apologize. Sometimes I do get something mixed up. I don't know why. So there are two Enochs. You may not have known that. And the Lord knows I should have been aware of it. I glanced down quickly and said something that was too hasty. So please feel free to email me and let me know. I know, you know Chuck Swindoll? Yes. Chuck Swindoll, when he was a pastor of a church, first church he ever had, there is a story about him that when he did his first communion service at that church, his first church, it wasn't, by the way, in Fullerton when he was famous. It was another church in Pennsylvania, which he didn't do too well at. He had his first communion service and he did it with his zipper down. So, I'd rather make the mistake of two Enochs. Okay? So anyway, thank you that you're paying attention, and I do apologize for that. So I go to another subject that I may know a little better than that, and that is the great man of faith, Noah. So let's take a look this morning at Noah, and I want to start this by saying I'm glad we have Mark here this morning because Mark knows a lot of stuff, and he's a creation scientist. One day I got a hold of a book called Forbidden Archaeology. Name it like that, and I got to have that book. What are they trying to keep from me? That's the exceeding badness of sin. Tell me I can't, and guess what Romans 7 says? You want to do it all the more. So I sent for Forbidden Archaeology. It's by guys that are scientists. They're not Christians. That's another good thing. They weren't looking it through our eyes. And they began to notice. Now, when you're in school, they teach you that the earth consists of these layers of rock. You remember that? There's the Paleocene, this scene, that scene, another scene. Well, the first thing I want to tell you is, yes, the earth is layered. You ever seen the Grand Canyon and the layers? Everywhere, the earth is layered. And in Forbidden Archaeology, they tell us something that somebody doesn't want you to know. Oh, that's when I want to know it. If NSA can find out everything we're doing, we need to know. And when you go to university, they teach people that over millions of years, dirt settled. And it made these layers over time. And by the way, you never see these layers consistently from the earliest alleged layers to the youngest layers. They're all mixed up. Sometimes they're exactly the opposite. Mark, you can correct me if I get this wrong. Mark's a scientist. He's got his degree in science. And so what they tell you in university is, and we're going to be on Noah for a little bit. I can't finish Noah in 17 minutes. I mean, it was a year flood. You expect me to finish Noah? Yeah. What they tell you is, over eons of time, dust settled, and these layers were built up, and in the earliest layers, which they're not labeled by dates, by the way, these layers are not dated. You'd think with these guys that they'd be dated, that they have this stamp. They don't. That in the earliest layers are the primitive organisms, and in the way upper layers are these advanced organisms, because they slowly, gradually changed over time and evolved. Poppycock. The reason why he named that book Cremo and the other guy was that when you explore those layers, something that they don't want you to know has been discovered in those layers. And what they do is they take any discoveries like this to the Smithsonian, and there is a deep, dark, deep underground base under the Smithsonian where they lose it. And I'm going to have Mark tell you a little bit about this. Here's what they found. Now, you got to imagine each one of these layers, these crazy scientists with the PhD from Oxford and Cambridge. These layers. And Cremo and his guy that wrote the book list odd things that they found in these allegedly gazillions of years old layers. Now, the one that I can tell you about is in one area of the world, they discovered a fossilized tree that was going straight up through multiple layers that were supposedly eons of years old each. Well, how can a tree go from 65 million B.C. all the way through these layers to 35 million B.C. and be a 35-million-year-old tree? Mark, tell them some of the stuff.
Mount St. Helens exploded. This is on, right? Mount St. Helens exploded. 80% of what came out of Mount St. Helens was water, and it formed these rapid formation of all these layers, much like you see in the Grand Canyon, they see up at Mount St. Helens, and it took place in less than a week. So we know that these layers can form rapidly. We've seen it in our lifetime.
They'll tell you the Grand Canyon had some river for millions of years cut through the Grand Canyon, but what you fail to realize is Mount St. Helens is showing that in just a little bit of time, those layers can be cut. And what they think is that when God stopped the flood and raised up the oceans again, all that water had to go back into the ocean, and it cut within a month or so. All of that in the Grand Canyon. Tell them about it.
Probably much faster than that. If the Colorado River going through the Grand Canyon carved out all that rock, why is there not a big delta?
By the way, didn't you tell Sarah that there is a delta where the dirt is? Tell them where the dirt is.
Most of the dirt of the Grand Canyon is in the San Fernando Valley. It's 35,000 feet of sediment. That's why the earthquakes are so strong, in the San Fernando Valley because it's as much dirt below your feet as those planes that are flying.
So where'd all the dirt go in a few weeks?
California.
California. Now, they've discovered other things in these fossil layers that are weird, that are supposedly millions of years old. Cremo, in this forbidden archaeology, they've discovered human tools at the earliest rock. Tools of a mortar and a pistol. And a mortar and a pistol? Pestle, yeah, pistol. What can I say? What else, Mark? Come on.
Gold chains in Carboniferous layer, human gold jewelry in layers that are supposedly 225 million years old. They found dolls. They found pans, cooking utensils, all buried in layers that are supposedly way ancient before man even appeared.
So now what they're doing is they're telling you, well, we think there were civilizations that periodically get wiped out. So that in the earliest, when they find that, well, there was a human civilization, it got wiped out through an asteroid. They won't let a flood, but and so they have these periodic ideas of everything getting wiped out when it was the flood. Because I studied under a creationist who was a specialist in hydrology. Now, also other things besides jewelry in the flood areas and other things that, by the way, they won't let you know that. Besides all of that, that they... Now I forgot what I was going to say. Help me, Mark.
Well, let me just say the reason that we're going after soft tissues in dinosaur bones is because everybody recognizes this can't stay around for a long time. And we're finding it later and later and later. Very old stuff.
Mark, help me remember where I parked so if I don't rabbit trail myself. Now, how many of you have heard recently that they think the dinosaurs roamed in herds? Have you seen Jurassic Park? That's a psychological operation by Steven Spielberg. Do you know why they think dinosaurs, which they have no idea, went in herds? Have you ever seen a lizard herd, by the way? Have you ever watched a lizard? Have you ever watched a lizard? I have them going up my house. I always see them alone. They're never in herds. The reason why they do this and say that they were in herds is they discover in the fossil record, now listen to me, billions of fossils dumped in one spot. So they figure, well, all of those billions of dinosaurs must have come to the same area for billions of years, dropped dead, turned into a fossil and got buried. Uh-uh. The only thing powerful enough to dump billions of fossils in one dump. That's what, isn't that Montana? Mark?
I'm sorry.
Isn't that the billions of fossils are just dumped? You've been to a thing. It's just dumped there.
When you watch Jurassic Park, you see them brush away the sand with a paintbrush off of this beautiful skeleton. They're never found like that. They look like they went through a cement mixer of mud. Everything's torn apart, ripped apart. In fact, the biggest lie in Southern California is the La Brea tar pits. That is not a tar pit. The tar came up from 10,000 feet below and coated all of the organisms. You can dig 100 yards away from the tar pit and find the same exact fossils with no tar on them.
So what is happening and what we're telling you is that education, and I'm in it, is really a psychological operation designed to make you think in a certain way without you becoming conscious that they're manipulating you. And when they find these things, and here, I know, you know, these fossils are so buried so badly that many times they put together skeletons of animals from the fossil record and they put the wrong head on it. Because the body's here, but the head got buried way, way away, and they put the head, another head here. It doesn't belong on that. They discovered it. So my point is that when you look at the Word of God, Hebrews has said, by faith we understand that the worlds were made and that the Noahic flood, with its massive water, easily explained, more credibly explains the fossil record than does any of what they put forth today. But they don't want you to know that. It is forbidden archaeology. We don't want a bunch of Christians running around knowing that the Bible is true. We want to arrest them if they give to evangelical.
Or fire them.
Yes, or fire them. There's a war on God today. And it's Noah that we want to look at today as we start. Because Noah, after Enoch, remember, the right Enoch is chapter 5, the wrong Enoch is chapter 4. That Noah found grace in the eyes of God. You know, another way that they try to make you think that the story of the flood isn't true, they always make little kids these fairy tale figures of these animals. And they'll let you have a fairy tale figure of this boat, Noah. Listen to me, that wasn't a little boat. How many boxcars? I remember when I was in college.
10 boxcars, no. Something like 3 football fields.
3 football fields wrong, and 988, if I remember, boxcars of room. Just a horrifically big ship to circumnavigate. It's not one of these little things that you see and then the animals are almost as big as the boat. That's another psychological operation. So we want to look at Noah. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Without what? It is impossible to believe him. To please him. By faith, Noah. Now listen to me. Noah was a Gentile. He wasn't Jewish. Enoch was a Gentile. There were no Jewish people. Even Abraham wasn't Jewish. It was the future people from Abraham and Sarah that were. Here is a man ensconced in the great roll call that was a Gentile. By faith, Noah, being warned of God about things not yet seen. Stop right there. We're going to go to the story of Noah. And I want you to read something, and Mark, you can come in on this, but what do you mean, writer of the book of Hebrews, warned about things not yet seen? What does that mean? Well, I'm going to show you what it means. I want you to go back in your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. Go back in your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. By the way, they're coming out. Did you hear this? Gladiator Maximus, although he was only good in that movie, Russell Crowe is starring in Noah. I hear the movie is really against the Bible story, so it's a good thing we go over it. But anyway, Russell Crowe is Noah. Go to Genesis chapter 2. When the earth was made in 6 literal 24-hour days. Do you think that's hard for God to do? Some creationist once said, I don't have enough faith to be an evolutionist. They're finding out DNA is highly complex genetic coding. It's programming. There's some studies that are suggesting that our DNA can receive frequency signals, EMP frequency signals. The earth was made. Adam lived, sinned, died. Cain and Abel, Enoch, Methuselah, well, up to Methuselah. And then a man named Noah. And do you know, it was probably thousands of years that these men lived. Do you know what never occurred in those 1,000 years? Do you know what? Careful, don't spoil it yet. Do you know what never occurred in those 1,000 years? It never rained. Genesis 2:6. Cheryl Malone, you look sleepy. So read Genesis 2:6. Everybody look at Genesis 2:6 as Cheryl Malone reads. Well, go to 2:5.
Now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord God had not set
There you go. Up until the Noahic flood, the earth had a different atmospheric system. It was probably warm, tropical, and we don't know. God doesn't give us much information. We just know that instead of rain, there was this perfect combination of mist. Now you know what scientists are doing? They're hydroponically doing plants because they've learned how to do that. And God did that way back then. And there was a mist. Now suppose you were Noah. And God came to you and said, Noah, I'm going to make it rain. You know what you would have said? Huh? What's that? And we're also going to find out, because I got to wrap it up this morning, that Noah had to preach for 120 years to a God-rejecting area, it's going to rain. And they would go, huh? Can you imagine telling people it's going to rain for 120? I told you about Comet Ison, didn't you? This could fizzle. No one knows if we're going to have a great big, brighter, 10 times brighter than the moon, but if it happens. But can you imagine telling people for 120 years that it's going to rain and there's going to be a flood and God's going to destroy everything? And the only thing they knew was this mist. And they would have massively ridiculed him. Look at the, and as he got 120, you know, he would have looked 120, you know, you preach for 120 years, something's going to happen. It doesn't happen in the 10 years, the 20 years, the 30 years. They're going to go, aha, look at that idiot. And look at the boat he built. That's a big boat. But don't you need water, Noah, for that boat? How can you fish from that boat? You got to float in water and you ain't carried it anywhere, Noah. And that's where we're going to find out how great, you know, God put his faith through a great test. Will you trust me, Noah, when I tell you it's going to rain and for 120 years, it ain't going to happen. And they've never seen that kind of thing happen before. We're about to enter our rainy season, yes? Well, we know it's a rainy season. Why? Because it's happened before. But they had no idea that there was rain and what it was like. And God put him through the test for 120 years to preach a message that everybody mocked. But if you think that that's the only thing about this story, wait till we get into it next week where it says the sons of God came into the daughters of men and produce children. We are going to go into a very, I don't know what to tell you about that. But we'll talk about it next week to give you a little hint.